This podcast is a presentation of Gateway Fellowship, Paulsboro, Washington. Experience community, find hope. Check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. No, good morning. Okay, I know you introduced yourself, but at least tell your neighbor, man, you look good today. Can you do that right now? You just look great. Yeah, so thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part in person. And those of you online, thank you so much for joining us. You know, if you hang around Gateway much at all, and maybe this is your first time here, and so you're going to hear it for the very, very first time. I tell people, look, if you're looking for the perfect church, you need to keep on looking because it's not Gateway. I will tell you that right now. You know, we kind of stumble along sometimes. We make mistakes. But it's like this. So we are here kind of working out our spiritual journey. And for some of us, we have a lot of questions. So it's a place where you can ask a lot of questions. I'm not telling you that we have all of the answers, but together we seek, you know, God's truth and what he's saying. So we're on this journey. Some are just beginning. Some of us just kind of trying to work out life along the way. And I've kind of described it this way. It's like going to the gym, which a lot of you do, I'm certain. Sure you do. And you go to the gym, and you just don't see a lot of fit people, do you? Because they're, and if you do, if you go to the gym and everybody is in perfect, you know, shape and stuff, that would be kind of discouraging, wouldn't it? It would be to me if that was my experience. But you go there and you see people at different levels. So some are just starting their journey, right? They're just trying to figure it out. And, you know, they have room to grow, and we have room to grow. So that's who we are. So thank you for coming, and thank you for being a part of the day today. And I'm gonna start a phrase, and I'm gonna ask you to kind of finish it, because I think it's one that we all know, right? And you probably learned it in childhood. Okay, are you ready? No, you gotta be more enthusiastic than that. This is Easter Sunday. Okay, so are you ready? Okay, here it is. There you go, right there. Okay. Here it goes. Sticks and stones. Okay, I know you got it perfectly, but just in case, here it is. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many believe that? Yeah, I mean, like we have learned the power of just this one thing. We have learned the power of words, haven't we? And some of us are sitting here today, and somebody said something to you that maybe hurt you, maybe discouraged you, maybe kind of set you back a little bit. It is true that words have tremendous amount of power. They impact all of life. And if you were to run that phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, through your favorite fact-checking, whatever that is, you'd probably find something like this. It's like mostly false, right? It's mostly false. It's because it's not true, because we have learned it. We have experienced the impact of words. But it's interesting, because we're going to go to Proverbs in just a moment. And Proverbs is that wisdom book, and some of you read maybe a proverb a day, and it's just a book of wisdom. Shares with us what really looks like a two-sided coin. So while words have impact and can really, really discourage us, the other side of the coin is they can also encourage us, right? So a lot depends on who they're coming from, what they're saying. So they either discourage, or they encourage, or they're either negative words or they're positive words. And here's the proverb right here. It says this in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue can bring death or life. And some of you have experienced that. Like I say, even this past week, the tongue has words that kind of produce death or despair or discouragement. But the words spoken to us can also provide life, depending on who it is that delivers them. So the proverb reminds us of the powerful impact of speech. It can inspire, positive or negative, serving to encourage or discourage. Words that are received and believed can offer life or death, or call it despair. So for me, there was a time in my life when I had a complex that I was really, really kind of working through and dealing with, and it had to do with my smile. So It was just something that I just couldn't get over, and something I didn't have confidence in. That might sound kind of weird to you, but that was my life. It was very, very discouraging, and I kind of lived that for a long time. And that feeling, that complex was deepened when someone came up to me some years ago and said, "You know, when you smile, you look like the Joker." And I remember the pain and the hurt from those words, and I dealt with that for a long, long time. And it was hard to get over. I'd love to tell you that it was quick, but it wasn't. I would have preferred a broken bone, because a broken bone would have healed much quicker and much more fully than that comment made to me at the time. I don't have that now. I'm beyond that. But some of you have experienced those kinds of words. And you're sitting here today, or you're sitting at home, kind of dealing with that and kind of wrestling that. You have the stories. You're sitting here completely discouraged and seemingly without hope because you received and believed the word of another. Remember the proverb, right? In the tongue has the power of death and life. And so you're experiencing that side of the coin. But the other side of the coin is also good. There are words that encourage us, and I have experienced those as well, and you have too. And just a few weeks ago, I had someone say to me, "I can't believe that you're such and such age. I thought you were 50. I'm not outing anybody, but I said, "Can we record that, please, right there? Because I'm actually a fair bit older than that, like 20 years older than that. And so I'll just do the math for you, okay? So I turned 70 last year. And so like to have someone say, "I thought you were in your 50s. Like, I'm going, "Yes, you know, I still have that recording right here on my phone." So that's the other side of the coin, right? So we have those words too, and you can believe them, kind of living out. Now, I know that's what you're all saying right now. Anyway, 50 is what I thought you were. But so I'll share with you two stories today that I think will really illustrate the point of the power of words. The first story is of a guy named Howard Hendricks. Now, some of you will recognize that name. He was one of my favorite teachers to listen to online. Howard Hendricks, he was at Dallas Theological Seminary for over 50 years. He's passed away now, where he taught Bible exposition and hermeneutics. There might be some here who remember years and years and years ago, there was this thing called Promise Keepers, and he was one of the speakers there. But you may recognize some of the names that he mentored in his life. People like Chuck Swindoll, you might remember that name, Tony Evans, or Chip Ingram, a little newer, right? David Jeremiah, these are all people that Howard Hendricks mentored. Perhaps the only chink in his armor that I can find is that he served as chaplain for Dallas Cowboys, you know, so but we forgive him for that. He did that for a number of years, from 76 to 84. But Howard Hendricks had this unique gift of communicating to students, using his students, using words of what they could do, not what they should do, but you can do this, you can do this. And he instilled that confidence in them. And in his own words, he says this: "You're looking at a completely fulfilled human being. If I died today having produced some of the people God has given me the privilege of shaping, it will have been worth showing up on this planet." Now, that's the success story, but his life didn't begin there. His life began very, very troubled. In his own words, Howard Hendricks was raised in a broken home, and he recalls this: "My parents separated when I came along." He says, "As I split the family." As a young child, young boy, he lived that. His father's mother raised him, and he described himself as a troublemaker during elementary school, probably just acting out a lot of insecurities in his life. Most likely to end up in prison was the assessment of his fifth grade teacher in Philadelphia. Once she even tied him to a seat with a rope and taped his mouth shut. Yeah, that was his life. Yet everything changed for Howard Hendricks when he met his sixth grade teacher just the next year. He introduced himself to Mrs. No, N-O-E, No, Mrs. No, and she told him this: "I've heard a lot about you, but I don't believe a word of it. I've heard a lot about you, but I don't believe that. I don't believe what they said. I don't believe what she said. I don't believe what you're saying about yourself." And those words changed his life. She made him realize for the very, very first time that someone cared, and she said it, he received it, and then he lived it out. And then he says this, people are always looking for someone to say, hey, I believe in you. And words are a part of that. There's a second story I want to share with you today about a person that you've never met. I know that, and I've never met him, Thomas Edison. The story of Thomas Edison's early days, it's been shared for many, many years, and it goes like this. Young Tom returned from school one day, and his mother noticed a piece of paper in his hand. He told her it was a note from his teacher, and she was the only one who was supposed to read it. And when she did, she grew tearful. When the boy asked what the note said, his mom replied, your son is a genius. This school is too small for him and doesn't have enough good teachers to train him, so please teach him yourself. From then on, Edison's mom removed him from school, and he was self-taught. She allowed him to curiously pursue what interested him and to devour it. Years later, after his mom died, Edison was rummaging through her belongings and came across that note from the teacher. When he read it, he was stunned because it read, your son is addled or unable to think clearly, confused. We won't let him come back to school anymore. We don't have the teachers to handle him. You'll have to teach him yourself. And he read the original note. The story goes, he wept and wept for hours. And since that time, gave his mother credit for cultivating his genius as an inventor. Now, that story is mostly true. Why do I tell it to you? Well, it's been sensationalized a little bit with the addition of the note that was sent home, which did not occur. But the words spoken over him remain. And I think the real story that I'm going to share with you from Edison's own words during an interview with the local newspaper in the early 1900s are really more powerful than the story. The actual course of events goes like this, as given by Thomas Edison himself. Quote, one day I overheard the teacher tell the inspector that I was addled or mentally unfit. He couldn't learn. And it would not be worthwhile keeping me in school any longer. I was so hurt by this last straw that I burst out crying and went home and told my mother about it. Then I found out what a good thing a good mother is. She came out as my strong defender. Mother love was aroused and mother pride was wounded to the quick. She brought me back to the school and angrily told the teacher that he didn't know what he was talking about, that I had more brains than he himself, and a lot more like that, Edison says. I love that. In fact, she was the most enthusiastic champion a boy ever had, and I determined right then that I would be worthy of her and show her that her confidence was not misplaced. You see, it's the power of words, the power of words. Words were spoken over these two individuals that changed the course of their life. But did they change the course of eternity for him? And that's the question I kind of want you to think about for just a moment. Did they change the course of eternity? Because I think the answer is no, they didn't. They changed their life, but the course of eternity? Words make a difference. But there's only one, capital O, that offers eternal words that are an invitation to a brand new life and a brand new purpose in life. Only one, capital O, offers eternal words of Jesus that actually change your destiny, change your eternity, have the power to change your life, change your eternity, change your hope, and change your purpose in life. And he is the one that we celebrate today. His name is Jesus. And when they are received, his words, they not only grant us a brand new life, but a brand new promise. I want to talk about that for the next few moments. Number one, Jesus says, you got to believe in me. And the verse is, and it's a familiar verse to many, if you're brand new to the Bible, John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So God the creator, we are sitting here because God created us, God the creator of the world, loved to the greatest degree possible by giving his son Jesus for you and for me. If you're a follower of Jesus, there was a moment in your life when you believed his words, when you trusted him, and you received him as Lord of your life, and he put you on a brand new path. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. It means that we're working it out. But we're working out as brand new people who have received the eternal words of Jesus. We're brand new people and a brand new path. I was 9 years old when I received him. I knelt at an altar. Some of you knelt in a chair. Some of you at home. Some of you were driving. It doesn't matter. But when we trusted him and we received him, he gave us a brand new life. We're a follower of Jesus. Jesus declares that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Faith is the key to everlasting salvation, not your good works, not your good words, and not your good looks. It doesn't depend on us. It completely depends upon him, the one who says, believe in me, trust in me. And then he says this, he says, I am the way. John chapter 14, this is Jesus. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So I say it this way. There aren't multiple roads up the mountain. There's only one way to the Father. Jesus is the exclusive path to God and eternal life. So I like to say it this way. He is all-inclusive and exclusive at the same time. He's all-inclusive because these words that say, I am the way and believe in me, trust in me, are for everybody, for the entire world, for you and for me, but there's only one way to be reconciled to the Father, and that's through Jesus, his Son. I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me, and he has made a way. As we trust in him, as we believe in him, he alone grants us eternal life. And then he says this, I'm the resurrection. Today we're celebrating, it's Resurrection Sunday. We're celebrating this truth. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Now, one thing that we all know is that we are all going to die, yes? I mean, at some point, at some time, this life on this earth, this human existence ends, but life doesn't end. This existence ends. We just go on to eternity. And Jesus says, if you trust in me, then you can be eternally with me in heaven. That's the promise of the Father. I am the resurrection. Trust in me. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Trusting in him and his words leads to life beyond the grave. His resurrection power conquers death and offers eternal life to all. I had a family member who, I get it that we don't like to talk about dying, right? We talk, well, I don't talk about living, and then I get that. That's okay. But this family member is like, you couldn't even mention death. Like, well, she'd freak out, you know? So I tried this. Okay, how about expired? That didn't work either, because anything that was a reminder that, hey, someday we're going to die, was a no-no. But the fact remains that we can live eternally with him. Number four, he says, I give eternal life. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. There's a promise of eternal life here, and there's a promise that no one can take away what Jesus has granted you, this brand new life. I know, I don't know, and maybe it's me. Maybe it's my simple mind that goes, like, I can't wrap my head around eternal life. I can't wrap my head around like being alive forever and like visiting, because I'm a people person. I like hanging out with people, and I can't imagine saying, let's just do this for 20 years and then we can go on to the next 20 years and on and on and on. But Jesus, I give you eternal life. You will never perish. And guess what? No one can take you away. And that's important for us to remember, because if we're a follower of Jesus, I will tell you that the enemy, The one who wages war against our soul over here will come along and tell you, look, you screwed up. No, you made a mistake. Like, you're not a real believer. You're not a real Christian. And that's just the enemy speaking false words into your ear and into your heart. They are not true. The words of Jesus says, I give eternal life. You will never perish, and no one can snatch you away. No one can take away what Jesus has granted. Number five, you have the words of eternal life. Those are declared by Simon Peter. He says to Jesus, Lord, to who would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. The words that give eternal life. Peter acknowledged that Jesus alone possesses the words that lead to everlasting life. In fact, in just a few verses earlier, verse number 63, the very words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, Jesus. You see, while words spoken by those around us have an impact on our earthly journey, and they do, there is only one who speaks words of life, and when received, change our eternal destiny. So the question that I have for us today is, have we received and trusted in Jesus? Have we made him Lord of our life? There's a story in the Gospels of a dude who was, he was paralyzed, and they heard that Jesus was healing, and so they were going to take their friend to Jesus to be healed. So he's a paralytic. And so they approach the house that he's at, and it's completely jammed. Like, you can't get in. You can't even get close to Jesus. So these good friends devise this plan, right? They're going to go up on the roof, and they're going to tear a hole in the roof big enough to let their friend down through, and we will just lower him down in front of Jesus. Now, the paralytic, he can't do anything about it because, for obvious reasons, he's paralyzed, and so he has to go along with the plan, right? And so he does, and they do. They lower him down in front of Jesus. And what happens next is why Jesus came. They lowered the paralytic, the paralyzed man down in front of Jesus. He looked at me. He said this, your sins are forgiven. Now, if you just kind of let your mind go for just a moment, you got to know that the friends listening up above there, and the paralyzed man is like, this is not what we came for. I just want to walk. I just want you to heal me. It's like you have all these other people we've seen. That's all I want. But Jesus looked at him and performed the greatest miracle in his life, the greatest need of his life. And he says, you're forgiven, your faith, you're whole. And then he heals him. And Jesus reveals himself as God, the only one who can offer eternal life. So have you? And I know there are many of us who have. We've received, we're followers of Jesus. But maybe some not. Maybe you've just not crossed that line yet for whatever reason. I'm going to pray two prayers. And here's how they're going to go. I'm first going to pray for those of you. And maybe this should be your first time saying, Jesus, I believe in you. Like, I've been searching, I've been looking, but today I believe in you and I trust in you. Let me give my life to you. And I'm not sure what all that means or how it's going to look out. I'm just starting this journey of getting spiritually fit. But that's the start. That's the start. Saying, God, I trust in you and I make you Lord of my life. I ask you to forgive me. And the Bible says that when we do that, he comes in and he makes us brand new people. All the things we just talked about. Eternal life is yours. Eternity with him is yours. You don't have to fear death, because when you die here, we're with Jesus. So I'm going to pray that prayer, and you can pray along with me. And I tell people this, like, there's no magic words you have to line up in just the right way or the prayer doesn't work. It's from your heart. And so you pray from your heart. And then I'm going to pray a prayer of thanksgiving for those of you who are followers of Jesus. I'll join you with in this prayer saying, God, thank you. Thank you. It's like I was out running the other day, and I was on Good Friday, and my mind was, God, you did this for me. I know he did it for all of you, and he did it for the world, but man, you died for me. This is the day that you died. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again. And because he conquered death, he offers life to us. So two prayers, and I'm going to ask you to join me today. Father, I thank you today for the power of the words of the one, your son Jesus, who says, trust in me, believe in me, and I'll grant you eternal life. And so there are some of us here today who have been tossing that around a bit, perhaps, but we never proclaimed you as our Lord and Savior. But today, we're making the decision to trust in you, to put our faith in you. We've stumbled along in life, and we've searched, and we've looked. But God, this morning, we're responding to your Spirit that is drawing us to you. And God, we say, God, I trust in you as my Lord. I trust in you as my Savior. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I ask you to forgive me. And if we prayed that prayer, the simple words, then I'll welcome you to this huge family of God. And I'll welcome you to the family of God that will gather someday in eternity and worship him forever. I thank you, Father, that it is that simple, just trusting you. It's not our works. It's not who we are. It's not our job. It's not our career. It's all about what you have done. So we receive that now in Jesus' name. Father, there are many of us who received you as Lord. We're a follower. And on this day, we just pause and say thank you. God, let us never get so far away from what you have done for us, God, that it just slips to the back of our mind. It just becomes another thought. But this morning, we just pause and say thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you that you conquered the grave. You conquered death. And thank you that you offered and we received eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we wrap up this series called The Hymn of Heaven. We've talked about that day when we all will be gathered around the throne. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. But it comes from Revelation chapter 7, and this is how it reads. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude, people like all of us, from every tribe, and no one can number, from every nation, and from all tribes, and peoples, and languages, standing before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. And that's what we're going to do right now. So can we stand together and let's gather around and sing the hymn of heaven. Oh,
With one voice, a thousand chants.